ska jazz ensemble with a little something called In Motion. It is from their 2011 album, Double Edge. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we pick up from where we left off with each other just yesterday. Well, I did say to you that this is a ritual, I guess, a mental ritual that I put myself through at the end of the year. And that is, I don't want the craziness of the world to get into my head. And then I'll have to live with the insanity over the so-called holiday. And it's in my head all this time. No, I prefer instead to center myself, to get myself ready, to prepare myself for what's ahead. And what's ahead looks daunting enough. I don't need anybody to drag me right down to the bottom at the end of the year and then start me off with other things that are equally daunting in the new year. It doesn't make sense to me. It never has. So I try to take it easy. I try to exit the current year gracefully, despite all the indications that things are going to hell in a handbasket. But somewhere you got to have room for yourself. You have to put yourself as a kind of priority to have peace of mind and to center yourself. Because if you don't do it, who will? Yeah. It is so clear that we are living in a topsy-turvy world. And they are adjusted to it. They like it that way. They want it that way. They organize it to be chaotic and crazy so that the rest of the world follows suit and becomes chaotic and crazy. Well, I believe I gotta have some kind of power for myself. I can't let people just drag me down like this toward the end of the year and you're in misery because you can't do anything. You can't think straight. Whatever it is they appear to want to represent, it's not working. It hasn't been working for me for a long time. So I want to ease myself into the new year on my own terms, if possible. I'm working hard to make it possible. I don't want to drag these people's craziness along with me out of an old year into a new year. I shared with you that when I was growing up, we had a very different way of easing ourselves out of an old year and into a new in my family. And a large part of it was that we were encouraged literally to get inside ourselves and to settle ourselves, to get ready, because there's going to be a fight, there's going to be a challenge, there's going to be a whole bunch of problems coming your way. And part of maturing is that you have to, at some point, take the initiative to set the timetable for things in the sense that you can. You have to take back from wherever it is that people just crash land in your life and cause you to do this and cause you to do that, cause you to think this and think that. Let it go. Don't begin a new year in such a state of frenzy and confusion. Reclaim yourself. Reclaim your turf. Reclaim your right to be you. And hopefully you can hold on to that idea all through the new year and even beyond it, so that you're nobody's puppet. You're not anybody's sycophant. You're not somebody's acolyte. You can think for yourself. You can reason for yourself. And so it makes no sense to me to end the year, no matter how much they've invested in causing all this drama and confusion. Leave it alone. It doesn't belong to you. You have a different agenda. You have to continue your path to yourself. We had to fend off all of these interruptions all year long and adopt other people's craziness as ours and their priorities as ours. No. No. If you have some quiet time, you can figure out what your own priorities are and in your own way, return to the surest thing that you've got going in life, and that is your mind. Your mind, yourself, your soul. Reclaim it. If you believe you have strayed away from that concept, because it is the only thing that will save you. It's the only thing that will keep you centered and going, and that is an absolute conviction that you have the ammunition to fight back and reclaim your space. You're not anybody's, as I said, you're not anybody's acolyte. You're not joining anybody's team. You're not on anybody's side. You're simply living your life as fully as you can and within the parameters, if you could use that word, of what you consider to be the essential you. You're not harming anybody. You don't want to harm anybody. You don't want to fight. You don't want to quarrel. You don't want to beat up anybody. You just want to do your thing and be left alone to do it. Okay. That is important, to claim your space and not have anything deprive you of your allotted space. That's how come you were born, how come I was born. We were given space to occupy and make the best of everything that we've been given. We're entitled. You don't have to ask anybody permission to think or to act in a prudent way. You don't have to ask anybody's permission. So that's my ritual. At the end of the year, I tend to become reclusive, not to the point, you know, some kind of a guru, but the idea is to just, I need space for myself. I need to reassess things. I need to recalibrate. I may not succeed, but that's what I need to do. in order for me to settle myself within myself, in order to get ready for what's ahead. What's ahead, I don't know. All I know is I want to be ready. I want to be capable of handling whatever is coming. I can handle it. I want to be reasonable. Not going to be drafted into anybody's individual fight. They know why they're fighting. I don't. But I have to get used to the idea that I should be cognizant. I should be always aware as to what it is I plan to do and want to do. How do I prepare myself to do that? Okay, so today I wanted to tease the brain a little bit with this. I'll ask you a question. Name two things. That's the topic we're discussing today. Name two things. Name two things that have been or are significantly impeding our progress as a nation. Name two things that have been or are significantly impeding our progress as a nation. And secondly, name two things you believe are our greatest strengths.
Are we on? Okay. This is going to be a priority for me this year. I have to solve this problem. I spent the entire week talking with the telecommunications people, and despite all the things that they said they would do and really began to do, and I'm not disbelieving anything, it isn't working. And I really have to find a way, and there must be a way in which we can do our programs without this constant interruption and cutting off. So let me get back to where I was. If you wish to make it personal to you, you can by telling us two things that you think have been significantly impeding progress, your own progress, and two things you believe are your greatest strengths. I asked it in the context of the nation, but you can make it relevant to yourself if you are okay with giving us a window into your own life. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. Harvey from Berkeley, you're on the air.
Hello, wonderful Utrecht.
Hey, wonderful Harvey. Happy end of the year and beginning of a new.
Yes, it is. And I'd like to answer your question. First of all, I want to wish you and your vast listening audience a happy and healthy new year. And as the old saying goes, it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. And as far as I'm concerned, 2020 was a year of disconnection. Unfortunately, the coronavirus is all about disconnection and taught us to fear each other. We are told to stay safe. And we have to practice social distancing of at least 6 feet, avoid physical contact, and self-incarcerate except for basic necessities, and the list goes on with no end in sight. So far as I'm concerned, it's time to take action and make 2021 the year of community connection. And you, Utrecht, are the perfect example of community connection on a national scale. You help us stay connected on so many levels, and it's especially true for Americans of African and Latino descent. You create community. And in the past, on a local level, there were community bulletin boards that helped people stay informed as to what was happening in their local neighborhoods. And now, thanks to our current computer technology, there's a new and safe way to connect with each other while practicing safe social distancing. And I did a computer search, and it turned out that there are websites that connect us in a neighborhood way. One of these websites that I found was called nextdoor.com. And the website stated that to get the most out of your neighbor, you can get the most out of your neighborhood with nextdoor.com. It's where communities come together to greet newcomers, exchange recommendations, and post the latest news, where neighbors support local businesses and get community updates. It's a resource that can help us build local community connections, like starting and building community gardens, promoting local education and social programs like cooking, art, music, and dance, as well as exchanging skills, building friendships in our neighborhood. So I say, let's make 2021 the year of community connection, and websites like nextdoor.com is a good place to start.
Thank you so much for that helpful hint. 888-874-4888. John from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
You sound good.
I'm trying to kid myself.
Listen, I tell you, in a word, your problem, your broadcasting problem, in a word, is called sabotage. They're sabotaging you. That's what's going on. You could fight against it, but good luck. You know, you're really outnumbered. I was thinking that can I give you more than two things that I think will help?
Okay.
I want to give you three. I want to say Joe Biden, his first act of governance should be to pardon Julian Assange, pardon Edward Snowden, pardon the young fellow who had a sex change, him, and I think that would show the people of this country that we still have a government that's run by people that aren't insane.
but you're not answering the question.
Remind me, what was the question again?
Ah, there you go. The two things you believe are significantly impeding our progress as a nation, and two things you believe are our greatest strengths as a nation.
Well, I think I could have answered that a whole lot easier 20 years ago. I don't know if I can answer that today. I think one of the biggest problems that we have in the country today is we are divided. We're divided by race, by sex, by wealth and poverty. These are gigantic problems that I don't know how you can fix. I think they just have to, like, work their way out. You and other people have shows like this, you say, well, we have to organize and get together and stuff like that. And that can't be done, because the minute, look at the Black Panthers that tried to start a party. What do? They firebombed them, their families, everyone. You're dealing with people who have no regard for other people or other people's lives. All they're concerned about is making money. And now, what was the second part of that?
Two things you believe are our greatest strengths as a nation.
Well, I used to think that our greatest strength was that we believed that we were free. We now don't believe that anymore. No one believes that anymore. This has become a dog-eat-dog country, and it's a shame. It's a shame. This was the only place that had a shot at at becoming a world of love and peace. You know,
all right.
That doesn't seem to happen. I don't think it is going to happen.
Well, thank you for your contribution today. 888-874-4888. You see, it's very hard to really focus in on the question and come up with a response because we're not trained to do that. We're not encouraged to do that anyway. So when something arises and you're forced to say, well, gee, I never thought about that. I never gave this any thought whatsoever. But I'm sure that somehow you have given some thought to it. I can't believe that you haven't. 888-874-4888. Name two things is our discussion today as we close out the year. Two things you think are significantly impeding our progress as a nation, and two things you believe are our greatest strengths as a nation. Could you think of just two things? Not a whole bunch of things, just two. We'll do just fine. But look at the difficulty we're having. Two things that are significantly impeding our progress as a nation, two things you believe are our greatest strengths as a nation. And why am I asking this? Because it's the end of the year, let's just say. We're clearing the decks. We want to see things a little more clearly. And it is imperative that we think about these things from time to time because we're not asked to, because there is an apparatus that thinks for us. It tells us what we're supposed to think. So we're not used to having to think about things for ourselves. And it's a very simple question. Very simple question. But the answers are going to be hard in coming. Two things. Let me repeat. Very simple. Two things you believe are significantly impeding our progress as a nation. Just two. And two things you believe are our greatest strengths as a nation. As we make this transition from one year to the next, but we have no context, we have no reference points, we don't even know what it is we're thinking. This would help focus our attention. And sometimes you may find that this is the first time you're actually thinking about something like this. We're not encouraged to think. But we are told even what the problems are. We are told how it will be solved, that the problems will be solved, like right now. We are told every step of the way how our problems began, how they're unfolding, what it is that we have to do to solve the problem. But does that mean that we know anything? Does it mean that we are making progress when we're just told this is what the situation is and this is what you've got to do to help the situation? No, that's not good enough anymore. If you make this little change, you decide what is impeding progress as a nation. And you decide what you think our greatest strengths are, then you're onto something. You're onto something because you can situate yourself accordingly. You're not somebody who just obeys orders or believes what is said or believes what is being done in your interest. No. You have a mind of your own. You can think. You can read. You can reason. You can come together as communities and exchange views and become more and more enlightened so that you can use yourself differently. You see that? It's not a simple question. It sounds like it, but it isn't. So, could you offer us a little glimpse today into how your mind is working as you respond to these two questions? Very simple questions. Very simple, direct questions. Two things that have been or are significantly impeding our progress as a nation. And two things you believe are our greatest strengths as a nation. Could you offer an idea of what you think these two things are? Just two. I know. It's deceptively simple. But when, in fact, was the last time you thought about it? When was the last time you thought you had the right, even, to think about it? Or that you should take some time and think about this? After all, you live in this nation, you're part of the nation, and we are bombarded with information about the nation every single day. What's happening? Who's doing what? What went wrong? What is the next disaster? But we can't tell you. We can't tell each other. We can't tell ourselves. What is the answer? Give us an answer. Is there no answer that you can come up with about two things impeding our progress as a nation that you have studied, you have noticed, you have analyzed? And two things you believe are our greatest strengths as a nation. And then we move on to the next part of this question, this exercise. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon, Latrice. How are you?
Okay, Ed, how are you doing?
All right, this New Year's Eve, a happy and prosperous New Year's to you, or late New Year's, depending upon where you're at on the globe. I can say good riddance to 2020, and hopefully we won't go deeper down the rabbit hole. Pertaining to your question, two things that I really find impede Americans or as a nation's progress. Number one is capitalism, the concept of capitalism and how America clings to it, how it's written into the mythos of America, the great American dream, the fable that one man can pull himself up by bootstraps without the support of government, the constant, rapacious pace of capitalism. I think that holds us back from a lot of things, a lot of discoveries, the ability to get mine while you get, I worry about getting mine without you getting yours. I think that the very detriment, that economic system is a detriment to this country and the way it clings to it. And I also believe another thing that holds back America as a nation is racism. It's baked into the institution. Even though people, there are a lot of people of goodwill and good intent, the actual racism is baked into the institutions, like the police, like medical, like in government itself. They're part and parcel of the American experience that we still really haven't confronted as a nation, i.e. what happened with George Foreman, what happened with Sandra Bland, all of these things that were brought to bear and put a better light on due to the fact that we were in a pandemic and we were shut down. And I believe in that is also America's greatest strength, because we have a young enough population in this country that we can logically change it. We have people, I believe there's a majority of people with good intent. And I believe that their good intent can change the aspect. We're getting more initiatives towards healthcare. We're getting more initiatives towards equity in the workplace, equity in lifestyles. And I believe that's the shining point in America. It needs to be enhanced. But I believe that is one thing that will help us progress. And our openness to ideas. We've got to, people are beginning to see cooperatives. Dr. Richard Wolff, economic professor, he's become a harbinger of the ideas of socialism, of the ideas of cooperative economics. I believe that we're starting to embrace that, and the process is growing. So that's pretty much where I'm coming from. I believe those two things, those four things, pretty much sum up my opinion of America and the American experience as a whole.
Well, I think you hit 100% on every single point that you made. And thank you. Thank you for putting this before us for our own consideration. Thanks a lot. 888-874-4888. You see what happens when you start thinking, minus the influence of media and the government and whatnot, you could think freely and accurately and correctly for yourself. You don't need anybody to tell you what the problems are. You know what they are. You just haven't had the time to think about it. You haven't set aside the time to become familiar with it. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Therese, in answer to your question, I'll get right to it. For the first part of the question strikes me as this. The biggest problem I see is the ability for the ruling class that I say run the country to play the people with bad training. Bad training all over in schools and colleges and media and whatnot, because they control all of that. And especially in the schools where they train you without really educating you, because I see education as an empowering thing, and this is not about empowering people. This is about training them, making them useful to people who run things, and without really educating and empowering them a place that is wonderful to live in as a country. And the second thing is basically the divide and conquer. One of the second ways that holds things back for the masses of people is the divide and conquer. So those are the two things I would put at the top. The good thing Are you hearing me?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Okay. All right. The good part is that the landmass that we live on has a lot of resources, a lot of natural resources and whatnot, and they exist here. And the second part of that second section is that we have a relatively important group of people, maybe it's small at this time, who are taking up the mantle for doing what is necessary to make the changes. You know, I think Brother Ed is right about Professor Wolf and whatnot, and there are others, and that's a good thing. So there's two and two, two bad, two good, and that's the way David sees it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think you're onto something there. Thank you. Bill from Brooklyn.
Good.
What's your perspective
afternoon.
On the
good
question?
Good afternoon, you, Teresa, and to all in your audience.
Thank you.
Zach, you're welcome. As we speak, I'm calling from downtown Washington, D.C., a stone's throw from where just in a few days Donald Trump will be departing us. But in terms of two problems. Number one is, I believe, the sense of tribalism that's growing in this nation and has been for a while. People see themselves in separate silos that are distinct from one another and have no relationship to each other. And the motto of E Pluribus Unum, all for one and one for all, it seems to be vacant. So that's one, I think that's very significant. The other is following up on a couple of the callers, I think is related to education, but specifically the lack of understanding about civics in the United States and how that pertains to our daily lives and how it is truly a responsibility for us to know all of the machinations of our government from the local level all the way up to the national level. This is why we find ourselves in the dilemma we find ourselves in today with people virtually trying to have a kind of a coup d'etat. And so in terms of what's positive, I believe the ingenuity of the United States and the people in the United States, we have impacted the world significantly in many positive ways, and I think there could be a lot more to be accomplished in that regard. And the second thing is the culture that the United States has given to the world, especially from the all of the very diverse communities, the Black, the Latino, the Hispanic, Asian, Native American. Our culture is celebrated throughout the world and replicated and copied. So those are some of my thoughts today.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Pretty heavy thoughts. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
At some point, we want to go beyond where we are today to find out what do you think could happen if we seized on those things that we believe to be our nation's greatest strengths. How could we implement them and improve the nation as a whole? That's the other question. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Phone?
Very well.
I'm showing off with this new phone again. You know, I didn't get one of those smartphones. I got this regular flip phone. I had a really good one for 8 years, an old-time flip phone. And now the new one is not as good as that one. And it's not as loud, the speaker part. It's hard to hear. Anyway, this is what I got stuck with from Verizon. Maybe I should go to another place, but they say that.
Well, actually, you're coming through just fine.
Okay, everything seems to be good now with it. It had a few things that had to get worked out, and now it seems to be working better. I hope that you're recovering well from the toxic cloud that seems to be following you. You know, when people devote their lives to educating people and they have such a big heart to give their life to help people, to educate them, to show them the right way, there's always people out there trying to put a toxic cloud on these people. And I think you're one of them, and I feel bad for that for you, Patrice.
Oh, I'm fine. I'm
really glad that you're such a strong person that you can deal with it and just brush it off your back, you know, like a water off a duck. Anyway, the two worst impediments, I think, is conditioning, which could be called brainwashing, and our lack of foresight or forethought of doing things before we really think them out, and then we get into a big problem. And my example of that would be asbestos. You know, back in the 40s, they found this rock, and when you heated it up, it opened up, and inside is this material that vermiculites the rock, and the material is the asbestos. Now, they use this. The farmer discovered this, the rancher. He was making coffee, put the rocks around the fire, and then he noticed that these rocks were light, but it's all he had. And when they heated up, they opened up and they split open, and inside was this material that wasn't burning. It would catch fire and then go out. So he brought it to the lab because, you know, he's a rancher. He knows scientists and stuff, and they discovered that this stuff was fireproof, and they started making babies' clothes and cribs and all this stuff out of asbestos, put it around all the pipes, put it in all the big buildings, the elevator shafts of all the buildings in Manhattan. We have asbestos. They put it in baby powder. Then in 1967, they'd find out that it's a highly hazardous material, and now it's too late to do anything about it. So you got to bring the World Trade Centers down, and you have to do all kinds of things to make things look like something else so you can get rid of this asbestos problem. And, you know, I don't have time to get into it all, but, you know, I just try to give people a little a hint of what I'm saying here. This asbestos is a big problem. And,
okay, we got it, but we want you to proceed because we're running low on time.
You want me just to end it there because I take up a lot of time just saying our two worst things.
No, let's finish through the second part of it.
Automobiles, now we see what it did to our planet, our environment, our air, and digging for the oil so it can, you know, for the purpose, just so we can get around faster. It's our lack of foresight. We don't think. We don't think.
All right, we got it. We got the point. So just move on so we can finish your assignment.
All right. Our assets would be then we have a mind that thinks for itself. We are in control of our minds if we really think about it. And when you can get yourself disciplined, then you can control your mind and you don't have to be manipulated and conditioned and brainwashed in the way they want to do for you. So that's an asset, and we need to work on it with many different exercises and all kinds of ways to do that to keep your mind sharp. You know, no matter what age you are, David from Brooklyn is a perfect example of a person that keeps his mind sharp. So that's a big asset for us. And what would be the other one? I don't think I thought that out to the next second best asset is that we have a good heart. Most of us here, we have them outnumbered. And if we really got together and saw that we could do something together, we could do it. You know, we just have to believe that we can do it and that there's a greater power that's going to help us do that. And that's a big asset for us. And people like
Harvey. Thanks so much.
I call him Mr. Positive, because no matter how bad things can be, he'll always find a silver cloud and everything. Thank you, Harvey. I would vote for you for president, with Yatrice Leed as also president. We need more one president, because it's a 300 million people. We all need help. All right, Yatrice, that's all I can contribute today. I hope it helped out a little bit.
I thank you. You helped out greatly. You helped out greatly by putting these new ideas into the pot for us to consider. Thank you so much for calling in. From Chicago, Henry, you're on the air.
Hey, Yatrice, how's it going?
Okay, Henry, how's by you?
All right. Getting a little cold out here, but, you know, that's normal Chicago weather.
Yes, indeed.
Wanted to wish you and the PRN Elite Stories audience a happy and productive and safe new year going into 2021.
Thank you.
In reference to your question, I'm going to cheat a little bit because I got one aspect of what's best and what's worst, and they kind of go in the same category. As far as our best asset and our worst asset, number one is social media. I find it in some respects to be our best asset and in some respects our worst aspect, because when you're talking about the best aspect of social media, you're able to communicate to, you know, folks across the country without getting on a plane, without getting in a car. Actually, in some aspects, PRN and the show gets reached on social media. I mean, that's how I found you, through social media. So that is probably the best aspect of it. But then you have the worst aspect of social media, with disinformation, with the president using social media to a detriment of just, you know, nonsense and ratchetness and, you know, whatever you want to, you know, call it. But social media kind of goes into both categories of the best and worst asset of our nation. In regards to going to the other way, as far as another worst asset of our nation, and I think Ed touched on it, is it's still racism. But that's been kind of like the worst asset of it for a while, for the last 400 plus years, I guess. But in regards to a good asset for our nation, we're still, you know, we're still the richest nation in the world. And despite the fact that, you know, we do have a lot of people who, you know, can barely make a living, you know, we do have resources available to some people where if there is some sort of movement going on, we can obtain those resources or get together and try to, you know, find a way to get, you know, to get things going. In regards to the last couple of weeks and probably the last 2 months, I've seen a lot of food centers that has been distributing food, and you had talked about it about, you know, back in, on Thanksgiving week, in regards to the long lines that that people are having at these food banks. But the fortunate thing about it, at least around the area that I live at, is they're able to provide food for all those people who are coming to get food, even though the lines are long. Just recently, I just seen a food bank where the line was like about 3 miles long, and then when I drove back there and everybody had food, it was still food left. So, you know, we still have resources and we're still providing. So that still kind of gives me hope with, you know, people who are, you know, who are going without, who are able to get at least something, you know, for the next couple of weeks, despite the fact that, you know, our government is playing around with the stimulus package and, you know, playing with, you know, playing with our emotions and heartstrings in regards to how much money they're going to give us. So.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
So you're welcome. So now we will, in the new year, come back to this, because we'll take what you offered today and further explore the dimensions of it. How could these aspects of our country, both good and bad, how do they fit into our daily lives? Do they fit at all? Are we able to create or influence any kind of change in these circumstances that you outlined that really we don't discuss every day? We don't. They're not part of the national consciousness. As far as the news is concerned, it's good pictures. You get great pictures. That's how I spotted that story. Looking at three lanes of traffic each way, totally jammed up on the highway. And I myself was wondering, well, what's this? Only to find out that it was about people trying to get food. But the story wasn't there. The photograph was, the visual was all we got from the beginning. But nobody told us what the story was. And how outrageous it is in a country with plenty, in a country with more than enough to provide, that you have this much traffic on a highway, a major highway, waiting for their turn to get to free food. That's the story, not the photograph, the story. Well, of course, the photograph illustrated the story, but we didn't see the story. We didn't get to understand the significance of that photograph. So in a way, we're falling short, even when we supposedly are getting information about important things going on all around us. It's reduced to something else that has nothing to do with the real impact that we should come away with in terms of a story. What is the story here? The story in that situation that I'm talking about is we've reached that point. Whoever would have thought that all of this traffic had nothing to do with a major vehicular accident on the highway or some tragedy that occurred, you know, but the fact that people were heading toward a spot where they're distributing free food. In this day and age, in the United States of America, with so much, it almost brought me to tears. Well, I thank you very much for your input today. And as you can see, it's not easy to answer a simple question. What are the most important aspects? What are the greatest challenges? Because we are not encouraged to think about things this way. We are encouraged to just take it day by day. Not see a big picture, but see only the little portion of it in front of our faces. And at some point, we will change that. Hopefully, we'll do so in the new year. I want to thank you all for contributing today, and have yourselves a meaningful new year with people who you can bring together around you, and you could be in the midst of them. And we will go on. We will go on. Thank you so much. The very best of everything for you in the new year, and especially your mind. Bye-bye.